Listening Library presents One of Us is Next by Karen M. McManus. Read for you by Maria Liotis, Holly Linneman, Fred Berman, and Carissa Vacker. Part 1. Friday, March 6th. Reporter. Standing at the edge of a winding street, with a large white stucco building behind her. Good morning. This is Liz Rosen with Channel 7 News, reporting live from Bayview High, where students are reeling from the loss of one of their classmates yesterday. It's the second tragic teenage death in the past 18 months for this small town, and the mood outside the school is one of shocked deja vu. Crying girl.
It's just really sad. Like, sometimes it feels as though Bayview is cursed, you know? First Simon, and now this.
Stoic girl. This isn't anything like what happened with Simon. Reporter, angling her microphone toward the crying girl. Were you and the deceased student close? Crying girl.
Not like close, or at all close. I mean, I'm just a freshman.
Reporter, turning toward the other girl. And how about you? Stoic girl. I don't think we're supposed to be talking to you. 10 weeks earlier. Reddit. Vengeance is mine subforum. Thread started by Bayview 2020. Hey, is this the same group Simon Kelleher used to post with? Bayview 2020. Greetings, one and the same. Darkest mind. Why'd you move? And why are there hardly any posts? Bayview 2020. Too many gawkers and reporters on the old site. And we have new security measures. Lesson learned from our friend Simon, who I'm guessing you know based on your username. Darkest mind. Everyone knows Simon. Well, knew him. It's not like we were friends, though. Bayview 2020. Okay. So what brings you here? Darkest mind. I don't know. Just stumbled across it. Bayview 2020. Bullshit. This is a forum dedicated to revenge, and it's not easy to find. You're here for a reason. What is it? Or should I say, who? Darkest mind. Who? Somebody did something horrible. It wrecked my life and so many others. Meanwhile, nothing happened to them, and I can't do anything about it. Bayview 2020. Same. We have a lot in common. It sucks when the person who ruined your life gets to walk around like always, as if what they did doesn't matter. I beg to disagree with your conclusion, though. There's always something you can do. Darkest mind.
Chapter 1. Maeve. Monday, February 17th. My sister thinks I'm a slacker. She's not coming right out and saying it, or texting it, technically, but it's heavily implied. Did you check out that list of colleges I sent? Winter of your junior year isn't too early to start looking. It's actually kind of late. We could visit some places when I'm home for Ashton's bachelorette party if you want. You should apply somewhere totally out of your comfort zone, too. What about the University of Hawaii? I look up from the text flashing across my phone to meet Knox Myers' questioning gaze. Bronwyn thinks I should go to college at the University of Hawaii, I report, and he almost chokes on his mouthful of empanada. She does realize that's on an island, right? He asks, reaching for a glass of ice water and draining half of it in one gulp. The empanadas at Café Contigo are legendary in Bayview, but they're a lot to take if you're not used to spicy food. Knox, who moved here from Kansas in middle school and still counts mushroom soup-based casseroles among his favorite meals, most definitely is not. Has she already forgotten that you're vehemently anti-beach? I'm not anti-beach, I protest. I'm just not a proponent of sand, or too much sun, or undertow, or sea creatures. Nox's eyebrows climb higher with every sentence. Look, you're the one who made me watch Monsters of the Deep, I remind him. My ocean phobia is mostly your fault. Nox was my first ever boyfriend last summer. Both of us too inexperienced to realize we weren't actually attracted to one another. We spent most of our relationship watching the Science Channel, which should have clued us in quicker that we were better off as friends. You've convinced me, Nox says dryly. This is the school for you. I look forward to reading what will undoubtedly be a heartfelt application essay when it's due. He leans forward and raises his voice for emphasis. Next year. I sigh, drumming my fingers on the brightly tiled table. Café Contigo is an Argentinian cafe with deep blue walls and a tin ceiling, the air a fragrant mix of sweet and savory scents. It's less than a mile from my house and became my favorite place to do homework once Bronwyn left for Yale and my room was suddenly much too quiet. I like the friendly bustle of the cafe and the fact that nobody minds if I spend 3 hours here and only order coffee. Bronwyn thinks I'm behind schedule, I tell Nox. Yeah, well, Bronwyn practically had her Yale application ready in preschool, didn't she? He says. We have plenty of time. Nox is like me. A 17-year-old junior at Bayview High, older than most of our classmates. In his case, it's because he was small for his age in kindergarten and his parents held him back. In mine, it's because I was in and out of hospitals with leukemia for half my childhood. I guess. I reach over to grab Nox's empty plate and stack it on top of mine, but knock over the salt shaker instead, sending white crystals scattering across the table. Almost without thinking, I take a pinch between two fingers and throw it over my shoulder, warding off bad luck, like Ida taught me. My grandmother has dozens of superstitions, some Colombian, and some she's picked up after living in the United States for 30 years. I used to follow them all when I was little, especially when I was sick. If I wear the beaded bracelet Ida gave me, this test won't hurt. If I avoid all the cracks in the floor, my white cell count will be normal. If I eat 12 grapes at midnight on New Year's Eve, I won't die this year. Anyway, it's not the end of the world if you don't go to college right away, Nox says. He slouches in his chair, pushing a shock of brown hair off his forehead. Nox is so lean and angular that even after stuffing himself with all his empanadas and half of mine, he still looks hungry. Every time he's at our house, one or both of my parents try to feed him. Lots of people don't. His glance flicks around the restaurant before landing on Addie Prentice, pushing through the kitchen doors with a tray balanced in one hand. I watch Addie wind her way through Café Contigo, dropping off plates of food with practiced ease. Over Thanksgiving, when the true crime show Mikhail Powers Investigates aired its special report, The Bayview Four, Where Are They Now?, Addie agreed to be interviewed for the first time ever. Probably because she could tell that the producers were gearing up to present her as the slacker of the group. My sister made it to Yale. Cooper had a splashy scholarship to Cal State Fullerton. Even Nate was taking a few community college classes. And she wasn't having it. No Bayview's former beauty queen peaks in high school headline for Adelaide Prentice. If you know what you want to do when you graduate, great, she'd said, perched on a stool in Café Contigo with the day's specials written in brightly colored chalk on the blackboard behind her. If you don't, why pay a fortune for a degree you might never use? There's nothing wrong with not having your entire life mapped out when you're 18. Or 17. I eye my phone warily, waiting for another barrage of Bronwyn texts. I love my sister, but her perfectionism is a hard act to follow. The evening crowd is starting to arrive, filling the last of the tables as someone turns all the wall-mounted big-screen televisions to Cal State Fullerton's baseball season opener. Addie pauses when her tray is almost empty and scans the room, smiling when she catches my eye. She makes her way to our corner table and places a small plate of alfajores between Nox and me. The dulce de leche sandwich cookies are a Café Contigo specialty, and they're the only thing Addie has learned to make during her 9 months working here. Nox and I both reach for them at the
Sample complete. Ready to continue?